home building and remodeling show. Let's go! Welcome everybody to the home building and remodeling show. My name is Chris Kirby and I'll be your host. I am the owner of three construction companies on the Alabama Gulf Coast. The show is about residential construction. We're going to cover topics of home building and remodeling. Are you thinking of doing a remodel or building a home? Are you a contractor looking to improve your knowledge base or grow your business? Have you ever done a remodel project or built a home? There were so many things you wish you knew or that you could have done differently during the process. Then this show is for you. We break down the process of building and remodeling and how to have the best results during your project. Whether you're a DIYer looking for tips, someone looking to hire a contractor to do a project, or a contractor looking to expand your knowledge base or your business. Welcome aboard. Glad to have you. Stay tuned. We kick off the show with my thoughts on home building and remodeling. I'll share best practices and talk about some of our experiences in business and out in the field. These shared thoughts and lessons learned are meant to help you on your very own journey. Let's go. All right, so the month of March is bathroom remodeling month on the Home Building and Remodeling Show. And so I wanted to talk about the four key relationships that you need to maintain in order to be a successful bathroom remodeling contractor. And there is a difference between general home remodeling and being a bathroom remodeler. I'll touch on that first. For instance, we do kitchen and bath home additions. Those are our three favorite projects to take on. Those are the ones that we have built systems around. And I recommend if you're going to be any type of remodeling contractor that you incorporate systems into your business as you grow your business. And it's going to help you to be able to maintain things such as financials, how you estimate, how you plan your project, how you manage your project, the timing of the project, all of those things. Processes definitely help with that. And so for a bathroom remodeler, the number one relationship for you to maintain is the client relationship. We've talked about it before on other shows that client relationship management is a huge deal. When you, as an individual contractor, start out, you're taking on work and you figure out that you're pretty good at remodeling bathrooms, whether it's new construction and just doing an installation for new construction or doing remodeling work or remodeling a bathroom. Going in, assessing the project, demoing the project, doing the putback for everything. What you need to know is the client is the most important piece to that. They're going to be your best referral source. If you maintain healthy relationships with your clients, they're going to refer you. And word of mouth referrals are the best referrals because that means that the client has had a good, great interaction with you as the bathroom remodeler, and they're going to talk to their friends and family, which means that they're like-minded most of the times. They're looking for something similar, or if their family or friends are over at their house and they're talking about the remodel and they want to show them the work that you've completed, this means that the client is doing the legwork and talking to the potential client, their friend or family, on your behalf about how their process went. That means it's not going to take much for you to close that deal because they've probably, more than likely, have already asked their friend, well, how did it go? What did you have to do? How did you initiate contact? What was the cost? Trust me, they've already asked those questions. You're locking in a good deal if you get word of mouth referrals because they've already talked about their projects. They've probably already talked about maybe even some of the headaches that were carried over from their project. And so you're able to address that up front. They know the nothing's perfect in remodeling, and you're able to talk to them about some of the hiccups and maybe even prevent those on their friend or family's project. Word of mouth referrals, keeping the client happy, informing them during pre-construction of the timeline, the cost, potential change orders, different things that could happen during the project. Pre-construction is super important during a bathroom remodel. Trying to make sure that the client gets all the information they need up front during pre-construction is a key contributor to maintaining a successful relationship with that client. Making sure they understand the steps, how it could get dirty, how you are going to address issues in a timely manner, how there could be project delays depending on materials, weather, different factors. Making sure that the communication is wide open during a bathroom remodel project is another key contributor to having a successful client relationship. And then closing out the project strong, allowing them to do a punch list and making sure that they're happy, final payments received, and that you do a follow-up after the project is done. Call them, talk to them, and follow up on the project. How's everything going? And things like that. Make sure you get good before and after pictures. Always get good before and after pictures. And those all are contributing factors to having a successful client relationship, which in turn leads to good results for you and your company, word of mouth referrals. Number one of the four relationships you need to maintain as a bathroom remodeling contractor, the client relationship. And now we move into Shop Talk. It's the portion of the show where I bring in a co-host and we cover trending topics in home building and remodeling. Hope you enjoy. Let's go.
Basically stop the drain. Now they make stoppers, right? So you're not just in there
looking at that energy pump.
Right. You want to do it the right way though, is what I'm saying. You don't want to be in that.
Oh, you don't know
this slow rat.
Hey, you're not gonna know anything.
Okay.
Forget the brand name, but Home Depot, Lowe's, they all have drains.
Gotcha. So put the drain stop in, fill the shower tub, whatever. You don't have water on. How are you filling that tub?
With a bucket.
Okay. You're going to get a bucket, fill it up.
It's a water and fill it up.
Okay. And be careful walking in and out with that bucket. Don't be spilling it and stuff. Okay. Flood test passes. It's good.
Yeah. So then we're going to start. It just depends. Some guys like to start with a floor. Some like to start with a wall.
Up and down. Okay. What do you prefer? Do you like to start with the floor or the wall?
It's easier to start with the floor.
And why? Why do you think this? Because a lot of people don't want to keep going on and off that floor, right? Because that floor is typically some sort of flex. It's a mosaic or something, right? Metal flooring. And so a lot of the people have a hard time to keep stepping on and off of that, which, so... Well, I'd like to hear why you like to do the floor first. And then do you...
I was taught to do the walls first.
Okay.
But, you know, I mean, the easier route is to do the floor first, and that way you can lay right over the top of it instead of shimming it off.
Yeah.
But, you know, really the best way is to do the walls. That way, when you're working the walls, you drop some thin set or what's going to hit floor top.
Yeah. Well, are you not protecting? You're going to protect.
But, I mean, you're walking all over it. You got wet sponges. That protection is going to get wet.
Yeah.
I mean, it's messy.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Okay. Floor to wall. All right. But if you're going the opposite direction, if you're doing wall to floor, okay. And we've talked about this. I did a video with Jeremiah about kind of, he likes to start on the back wall at a certain spot, and he'll do that back wall first. And his reasoning for that, in which we got a lot of back and forth conversation on this, was he was saying that he starts on the back wall. So when you're looking at the back wall, if you set the back wall first and then do your side walls, he's saying that your grout line
is visible. Do not ever undo the back wall first.
Yeah.
Because if you do that, then your grout line's on staring right at you
right
from the corner. Yeah.
Right. And there was a lot of people going back and forth when I did that video with Jeremiah saying, oh, it's going to be the same either way, or your grout. And it's not. That's not true.
That's true.
Yeah. No, it's a cleaner.
Well, looking at a wall that's been done, the grout line's going to be on this wall and that wall. And if you do that wall and that wall, the grout line's going to be on that corner.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? It's definitely going to be visible. Gotcha. Okay. A lot of problems. A lot of people who learn tile starting and getting it laid out properly, especially on a shower. I think, is a floor easier to lay out than a shower? Or
the floor is the easiest part to lay out.
And how do you do? So there's...
You don't have to put... You can cut everything and lay it in there, take it out, and then stick it up.
Yeah.
You can't dry fit
a wall shower. Nice. So, and that's where a lot of the people, especially the newer people, you know, getting started takes
the
a lot.
The easiest thing for somebody getting started in showers is to buy you a laser lamp.
Yeah.
And that will solve your...
But talk about pattern, though, okay? So, some of the stuff we do is a little bit easier, but, you know, your larger format and things like that, but pattern. So there's a lot of different ways you can do patterns, mm-hmm. right? Talk to me about that. Like, if you were going to do a smaller format tile, how do you figure out how you want to get it laid out and get started?
You usually lay it out. Like different types of layouts for the customer, find out what they want.
Yeah.
And they can want herringbone. They can want it like vertically stacked, horizontally stacked.
Oh, that's straight. The straight stack is like you've got to be clean. I mean, it has to be precise when they take the like, especially Subway.
I mean,
that is straight.
All small on each other. So, and all the corners meet up. So you can really see if you're off. So,
and your grout, and two, the grout portion of that, right? You could tell where your grout lines get fat, skinny.
You got to be on.
Grout coverage is off. Like, but some people like the straight stack. And if you've been doing it for a while, they can kind of roll with it.
Right. But it's nobody's favorite.
Yeah. But then sometimes too, okay, they want that where it's vertical, right? So they take the Subway. And instead of going horizontal, they want it turned up. Okay. You lay it out. You always kind of try to lay it out for the client. Let them pick.
Yeah. That way they can see it laid out how they want.
Yeah.
I mean, I just lay it out on the floor and be like, hey.
Here's how it's going. Now, how do you determine pattern style, though? So they tell you, and then with if the wall is square, if it's level, if it's plumb, your tile, your ends, right? They're all going to be typical or no? Depends on how you do your layout for your tile. So like they're looking, ends, yes.
Usually on mine, you want to, lay it out to like find your center in your shower and then work off of it. That way everything's consistent on either side. But
it's not just as simple as this. So you can't just sit there and cut all your end pieces.
You can after you.
You can.
As long as you're running level.
As long as you're running level, you should technically be able to do that. Right. All right. Okay. I just want to make sure.
So that's the key part to, before you're doing your Schluter system, you should be finding out if your walls are level.
Yeah.
And if not, you should be making them level.
You shouldn't get started without doing that.
No. And that way, because it makes everything life easier once you get to laying tile.
Now we're going to move into the portion of the show where we talk interior design. We're going to bring in an interior designer and we're going to talk trending design and products. Hope you enjoy. Let's go.
All right. So this month, the month of March, the Home Building and Remodeling Show is going to be focusing on doing a bathroom remodel from the remodeling side and also from the interior design side. And our topic of the workshops that we're going to put out, the topic of the podcast is going to center around bathroom remodeling. So I've got Courtney, our interior designer, with us today, who specializes in kitchen and bath remodels and design. And we're going to talk about 10 bathroom remodel and design ideas that can revolutionize your home. All right. And I know you've got your list. And so we'll start with your you're number one.
So speaking on the idea of revolutionizing, that always it applies to different people in different ways. So some of these can be considered trends, and some of them actually are revolutionary to really anybody in any place they're at. So the first one that we're really seeing for 2024 is the mixing of warm and cool tones. As of recently, it's really been more that cool on cool, the gray on, you know, white kind of coloring. Now it's becoming more the richer, more saturated, kind of earthy feels to it, which allows to transition.
And then just color in general, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So like neutrals, so like for a contractor like me, everything's gray. The walls in here are gray. So gray and white is a very typical.
It's a safe space.
Yeah, there you go.
It's a safe space. And there's nothing wrong with a safe space by any means. Mm-hmm. If that's something that brings you joy and happiness and it is tone on tone, don't ever let somebody tell you that's wrong.
Right.
It's not. Trends are trends for a reason. They're just things that come in our lives, just like clothing. You know, they kind of preempt the market to move for things to create different looks. If everything remained the same all the time, well, I would be out of a job, number one.
That's right. That's right.
Two, there wouldn't really be anything fun or visually intriguing about where we're going in the future. So color is actually one of the other ones on my list.
Awesome.
So yes.
Hey, April is going to be our paint month, and we are going to dive into color consultation. So this is good. This is a good lead in for us.
Yes.
So talk to me about color.
Okay. So color, not only within tile, but also paint. I was recently just at the Biloxi Flooring Market, and there was just a plethora of really cool, rich, saturated tones. And we're not talking about your bright, like, Lego blues and reds.
Yeah.
I'm talking about more of your European influences, that kind of mustardy color, persimmons, the real
mustard. Like mustard.
Now, you know, it doesn't have to be French's mustard. We can go fancy and go like Greg Vaughn, but yeah,
there you
mustard
go.
Tone.
Really?
Really big. Same thing with the greens, the saturated kind of olivey green.
So, and what about, we have been in kitchens and our new construction side especially, we've been doing a lot of like a hunter green, right? Okay. All right. And I thought, again, that's one of those things that I didn't think hunter green or gold was going to come back. So these colors just, they kind of, it's a big circle,
it's
right?
Cyclical.
Oh, yeah, cyclical. There you
go. Blending these colors in a different way. If you remember hunter green, when it was first prevalent, it was really mixed with cranberry.
Oh, really?
It was cranberry and hunter green. I know you people out there know. You got it in your home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Cranberry and hunter green.
Yeah.
So now, instead of utilizing the cranberry tone as the complementary tone, they're going more into like a warmer taupey tone.
Okay.
That has a little bit of a softer, almost a mink feel to it. Not a lot of yellow.
Gotcha.
It's still very neutral feeling, but it's color.
Okay.
Yeah. So color. Mixing metals.
Mixing metal.
This isn't that new. It's still a trend because it's becoming a little bit more involved in the fact that if you think about a light fixture, you generally think one color.
Yeah.
Well, now you may have a bathroom wall sconce or even a kitchen chandelier where the main neck of that chandelier wall sconce is gold.
Okay.
And then it has a wrap of a black accent and then silver. Well, guess what?
Okay.
That means you get to play with all those tones. So if that light fixture has three different metals, my hard work can be worse.
So let me ask you this. In new construction, when we're talking to the client, a lot of times they want a standard, like, brushed nickel throughout, a gold throughout. And now you're saying not only are you mixing that, but the actual fixture itself could be mixed metal. That, to me, that's cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. That also is prevalent in an industrial look too, right?
It can go multiple ways. Right now I'm doing one of our clients' homes. It's a little more Art Deco.
Gotcha.
Art Deco is a lot of golds and a lot of blacks.
I love that look too. It's sleek.
It is.
Right? Okay.
It's sleek. It gives a little bit of a modern edge with like kind of that retro twist. The good thing is design. You can blend designs together. It's just all about continuity.
Yeah.
Repeating the same thing throughout the home, but just in different ways.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yes.
So, awesome. All right. And then let's recap. So number one was?
Warm and cool tones were no longer limited.
Number two?
Color.
Yep. And number three?
Is mixed metals.
Awesome. Okay. And what's number four?
Lighting.
Yeah. So I know, you know, a little bit about this. You all are trying to get me to carry lighting in the showroom because it's so prevalent. Variations, sconces, things that usually from a contractor's perspective, we weren't putting in, now we're putting them. Okay.
Lighting's kind of like the jewelry of the home.
Yeah.
It really
is. The jewelry. Got it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to overdo it. And like Coco Chanel said, you know, before you leave the door, take one thing off. Same thing with the lighting. You don't want to go overboard.
Yeah.
Lighting is really important for function as well.
Okay.
I mean, as a woman, I absolutely, it drives me bananas when I go in somewhere and I cannot even see my face in the mirror because the lighting is so dim.
Yeah.
Well, when you go into somebody else's house, same problem.
Look, Asia's sitting in the back nodding her head.
Yeah, no one wants to have to get dressed or put her makeup in the dark. It's not fun. You get in the car and I didn't know I was going as a clown today.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, and two, like for me in my home, not only do we have different types of fixtures, but like the actual bulbs that yeah, absolutely.
You
know, yeah, they're all different. Like, so, you know, our outside, and I hate this, our outside lights have that very bright orange.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't stand that one. So I've swapped a lot of those out. But like in our living room, we have an older fan. Those, that light color is different than the LED light. So, and it messes with your eyes, you know, not just for look and from the interior design perspective, but I've noticed that when you go from room to room with different light variants, yeah, that, so with me having glasses and getting older, right? Knocking on my door. Yeah. So, okay. So, but lighting. Okay. And that also goes back to tying into the metal, yes. Mixed metals, yes. Right? Okay.
It certainly does. So that's kind of touching two points. So the lighting is fine. It doesn't need to be brushed nickel or black or gold throughout the whole house. We can mix it up. But also, too, how it functions. It needs to have a function. That's why you have lighting over your island. That's why you have lighting over your dining table. There are places that you need to be able to see what you're doing.
And part of the joy of working with interior designers as a builder, again, we care about what things look like. We care about the quality of what we do, but a lot of times we're not thinking of the form, function, space planning part that you do. And, you know, the pendant lights over the island aren't just for looks. That's where the function is, or, you know, the sconces, or, you know, just different light placement. So as a part of a new build, you actually go through and do placement with the homeowner.
Okay. That's needs.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like in a bathroom, a lot of people don't know, you know, having, and it is kind of dependent on the space, but it is ideal to have an overhead light in two side lights. That's why it's framing your face, giving you a little better, more natural, almost outdoor lighting exposure.
Gotcha.
Thanks for joining us today. As always, we are grateful for our listeners and your continued support. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on social media via Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Get more info at our website, www.thehomebuildingshow.com. And as always, remember who we are, the Home Building and Remodeling Show.